The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson, Tom Fernelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott. It's your call for the best college football coverage, from National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Tom Fernelli. That's Bud Elliott. I'm Chip Patterson, coming to you live at youtube.com/cover3 and everywhere you get your podcasts on demand. Thanks for hanging out. Smash that subscribe, smash that like, and come and join us in the chat, aka the Cover 3 tailgate. Because you see those sirens in your feed, you know exactly what that means as we gather here Friday afternoon. Well, here's where we have it according to all the latest reporting. I mean, we've got Brandon Marcello on it. We've got Matt Zenitz on it. And it is that Alabama and Kalen DeBoer, as of 2:44 p.m. Eastern time, are in negotiations on a deal which would make Kalen DeBoer Alabama's next head coach, the successor to Nick Saban in Tuscaloosa. Again, the deal is not final. You know, our headline here on YouTube is in talks. But Bud, we know the way this game works. When reporters ABC, like when we're all in line with the marching orders, and as of right now, could be final as soon as today. Sure looks like we've landed on Kalen DeBoer as the replacement at Alabama. Your thoughts as we've worked our way through the process. Let's get to like how we got here later. Kalen DeBoer, right now, what are some of your initial thoughts on him at Alabama?
He's 104-12 as a head coach.
Yep.
Some guys just know how to win. And even if you can't pinpoint exactly how, you just have to respect the fact that they do it. So if you're an Alabama fan out there, you're going to get a guy who is probably like legitimately an offensive genius. They are going to run so much scheme. It's going to make you think that they basically like have hidden practice times because they run it really well. They run a bunch of different stuff and they run it cleanly. They score points almost regardless of situation. And I think he's a guy who people enjoy working for. Don't see a lot of turnover on his staff. He's kept his group together and he just wins, and wins some more. And certain guys, you know, like a Lance Leipold at Kansas, they just win. Now, no real experience in the Southeast at all. That's not a prerequisite for success. Urban Meyer also didn't have any, and he did okay with the Florida Gators. But the big question will be the recruiting. 36th in recruiting right now after playing for a national title at Washington. And also, how much of his staff does he want to bring, and is he allowed to bring? Because he's had a ton of staff continuity, as I mentioned. But not all of that staff, I think, is probably equipped to be someone who can recruit at Alabama. So maybe that's where having Nick Saban stick around will help. Because Kalen, you know this, you know the ball coaching stuff. We're pretty sure you can coach ball. Can you get the players that allow you to win games 12, 13, 14, 15, as is the expectation at Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, it's it's a good hire for Alabama because, like you said, he's a very good coach. But it is going to be interesting to see what the recruiting situation looks like. And are they going to, like you're saying, like Ryan Grubb is now going to be a top candidate for the Washington job that is now going to be vacant. Does he bring them, or is there going to be like, no, we need to get some guys with recruiting chops in here on the staff to do all that kind of, so it's a very interesting situation in that DeBoer is a very good coach. Nobody here is going to argue against it. The record speaks for itself. They got Washington to the national title game, but it's also a very interesting situation in that it's Alabama. The expectations are very high and will remain very high. But what is Alabama without Nick Saban? Because while it's always been one of the blue blood programs, you know, Bear Bryant, all that kind of stuff, there was a time in the wilderness there between the Gene Stallings era and Nick Saban taking over where things had fallen off. And now we're entering a new era where, as we've talked about on the show this week, the NIL situation at Alabama isn't quite up to snuff. Like, there's a reason Sark is staying at Texas. There's a reason Dan Lanning is staying at Oregon, because these schools right now don't have the pedigree or the championships, but they become better jobs simply by the fact that Nick Saban is no longer the coach at Alabama. And then you look at the NIL situations that they have going on. So I think it's a great hire, but there are so many other factors here that mean, you know, it might work. It might not. I think that's one of the things that's going to be really interesting to follow.
So, you know, you look at the small body of work for Kalen DeBoer as a head coach, you know, outside of Washington, right? You're going to point to the 67-3 run at NAIA Sioux Falls. Well, yeah, I am. Because, I mean, even Kalen DeBoer described this a lot. Like, football is football. And while he's only been at Washington 2 years, he's gone 25-3. He's gone 12-2 against top 25 opponents. 12-2 against top 25 opponents. Kalen DeBoer versus Dan Lanning, the supposed top pick for the job. That's 3-0 DeBoer. Kalen DeBoer versus Steve Sarkisian, another purported target for the job. 2-0 for Kalen DeBoer against Steve Sarkisian. Kalen DeBoer's 2-0 against Lincoln Riley. The guy is undefeated against Lanning, Sark, and Lincoln. The guy can coach football. Like, I think that this is a fascinating spot for him just because he's going to have better players than he's ever had before. He's going to have more resources than he's ever had before. And you mentioned the Nick Saban sticking around part of this. I think Nick Saban really respects what Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb have been doing, as evidenced by Ryan Grubb being a candidate for the offensive coordinator job before Tommy Reese was hired. I think that Nick Saban, as much as he is or isn't involved in this coaching search, this seems like the kind of hire that, like, Granddaddy Saban would approve of. That the way that he runs a program, the way he manages people, like, there are unprovens for sure, but I feel like this is a ball coach hire that the greatest ball coach of all time probably is very excited to see as his successor.
Remind me, how many years did Saban spend coaching in the South before he went to LSU and won a national title?
One of my notes here is I've been thinking about Kalen DeBoer all day because I'm sick in the head, but I was like, Urban came from Utah.
Yeah.
Saban came from Michigan State. You know, like, there are some legendary head coaches in the SEC. And when you go back to that first stop before they made the jump, I mean, even Les Miles was Oklahoma State. Like, that's the way this goes sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Tom's point is really well made. The only counter to that would be Urban was an ace recruiter for the Irish as an assistant. So he did fight some battles against teams from the Southeast. And West Virginia isn't exactly the North, right? And that's where Nick is from. So
no, but it's not recruiting in the South. Just because you're from West Virginia doesn't mean you have connections to recruiting in the South.
Totally fair. I think your point's really well made, right? Like, generally get a really good coach, understand what he can do, and then try to surround him or clue him in. Hey, some of these guys on your staff probably ain't it, man, when it comes to getting players, because we don't really care about winning 10 games. We care about winning 15 games. And you just saw it against Michigan. That great offense you ran, even with the Joe Moore Award-winning offensive line, they got ate up by that Michigan defensive line. We need you to get freaks here. So they probably have to understand that, right? It's Nick Saban. He's not an idiot. Greg Byrne's not an idiot. I they probably think, okay, we like this part of the asset and we can help in other ways here. And we'll see if that works. It very well could. Also, to Chip's point, he is, where am I at? Oh, he is 101-9 if you take out the COVID year. And I think for Fresno, California, where they weren't even allowed to practice like almost ever, and they had multiple canceled games that year.
Yeah, Mountain West was one of the last conferences to get started.
And Fresno specifically, like the county. Remember, it was there were a lot of restrictions. So he has never lost more than, I think he only has one season where it wasn't his first year at a place where he's lost more than one time.
There are some like fun ripple effects to consider here, in that when you think in 2019, like obviously Indiana's best year was 2020. It was the COVID year record-wise as far as wins. But it kind of makes you forget that in 2019, when DeBoer was the offensive coordinator, that was like the third best offense in the Big Ten. They were scoring like 35 points a game. They were averaging 450 yards. And then DeBoer leaves for the Fresno State job. Allen becomes, you know, the guy in charge. Like, where's college football right now if, like, Kalen DeBoer was still Indiana's coach? Like, you think about what's happened since then. It's just a fun kind of ripple effect. But anyway, yeah, I can't remember where I was going. I'm sorry.
You were doing the sliding doors, which in college football always is fun, especially when we go back and we see these different coaches that are working together, where they end up going, and DeBoer and this crew, you know, whether it's at Eastern Michigan, whether it's at Indiana, whether it's at Fresno State, they've been coming together. And that conversation between Kalen DeBoer and Alabama in terms of who's coming, who's staying, because, I mean, but like Bud, on that Alabama on that Alabama staff right now, is there anybody that you're trying to get to stay?
I think you could probably take a look at T-Rob.
That's what I was, you know, yeah. Maybe get him in there. He's already doing the co-defensive coordinator thing right now at Washington. They could figure out a way to be able to work that out, because some of his recruiting wins have been absolutely massive for Alabama, as they have been doing a great job on the trail, even in the late Saban era when everyone's negatively recruiting properly, saying, yeah, but he's going to retire soon. Well, now he's retired. You got to maintain those relationships to keep this from being just like a total exodus to the portal.
I do wonder, first of all, and I think T-Rob will get a really good job regardless if he stays or not, but this is... If this was any other coach exerting this amount of influence after retiring on the new coach, as we are implying that he will, and I think that he could, and it really could work out well, we would have some concerns.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Mm-hmm. Like,
Berger having an office in the swamp, I don't think is something that a lot of coaches love.
Mm-hmm.
So how large of a figure will Nick Saban loom as? Maybe he'll just be down in Florida more often than not. Right. But, if they do it well, it can work out really well. But it's not guaranteed to go well.
So the next couple months are going to be really key, because Washington's players talked a lot about how from the time he was hired in December to, you know, once you get into the beginning of spring ball, all through the winter workouts, all through all the onboarding, when he's meeting with that team that had just gone 4-8 the year before, that had gotten Jimmy Lake fired, they were kind of a broken team. You know, they were better players than their performance. Everything had just kind of fallen apart on the season. Remember, there were some close losses against good teams in that 4-8 year. But he was able to get everybody to buy in. Yeah, like Penix came from the portal, and obviously, you know, Dylan Johnson came a year later. Like, there were some portal additions, but there's a lot of pieces of that Washington team that listened to DeBoer. DeBoer said... DeBoer came back and he was like, you know, just give me a chance. That was what one player told me. And they did, and he got everybody on board. Like, that has to happen. He's got to be able to have that happen right now with this Alabama team. And that's where I think Nick Saban can help with the other stuff. Nick Saban can tell you who you got to go talk to for what. Nick Saban can tell you, like, in that Alabama community, he can give you the lay of the land. I think Nick Saban being involved in the big operational stuff is incredibly helpful, because DeBoer needs to focus on this roster and being able to get everybody on board so that they can enter spring ball without feeling like you're just scrambling to put together your depth chart.
Does Alabama have a golf simulator in the facility?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Well, then maybe that's why Saban's keeping an office.
No,
he Chris Lowe said.
Yeah, Chris Lowe said he used to hit golf balls yesterday. No.
Maybe that's the only reason Saban's keeping an office, is so he can use the golf simulator, because Miss Terry won't let him put one in the house. That's
dangerous, by the way, because like you tell the wife you're working late too many times, and you know, like there's insinuations with that, and you're like, really, I'm hitting the XL bucket every day. Like I'd get in trouble with that.
Okay, so we are very interested to see what happens with the staff. We all believe it's a pretty good hire, right? I just have no idea if it'll work out.
I have no idea if it'll work out.
Yeah, it's not in the home run category to me.
Okay.
Right? I thought, like, guys who we know have run a big-time program with big-time recruiting expectations and have also won on the field, I think, would be the home runs. So, Urban, if you could have hired him, which I don't think he's hireable, Sark, and probably Lanning because he's done the recruiting side, would have been the three home runs. And then I kind of had Norvell and DeBoer in a similar category. Like ball coaches who I think are extremely high floor. I would be shocked if Alabama was bad if they had hired Norvell, or certainly with DeBoer, because those guys, they very rarely lose, but you don't know if they can get you across the finish line in the major recruiting battles, which is what it's going to take. Because guess what? Auburn's probably not going to be great this year, but they just signed an absolute MF-er of a class, okay? And they're going to be spending money in the transfer portal for 25 like Ole Miss is this year.
Mm.
So they're about to be really good. Now, Georgia probably smells blood in the water with this hire, personally, on the recruiting trail.
Right.
Like they already had the relationships that you're trying to build.
So our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook, make every moment more. This morning, they had an Alabama win total for 2024 set at 9.5. You now know that Kalen DeBoer is the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Would you go over or under 9.5 regular season wins for Alabama in Kalen DeBoer's first year?
Over. It's still freaking Alabama.
The non-con, for context, Western Kentucky, USF at Wisconsin. So 3-0.
USF.
Yes. Yeah. Now they do draw Georgia, which is a rarity in the regular season.
Right.
Yeah, they also get at Vandy. So one of your conference road games is Vanderbilt. Get South Carolina, probably the third worst team in the SEC, but Vandy, Mississippi State.
But best fan base.
Easily the best fan base. Love you guys, South Carolina.
Third worst team, though.
Yeah. At Tennessee. Host Missouri, at LSU, Mercer, at Oklahoma, host Auburn. So no Texas, no Ole Miss. Who else is good in the Dodge?
Well, the other pitch of the Ole Miss hype is that they don't play Alabama. So Alabama doesn't play Ole Miss. Yeah.
I mean, missing Texas and Ole Miss is meaningful. I'll go over. I think 10-2 is pretty reasonable.
All right. Over. And over, Kalen DeBoer on his way. We believe that this will be finalized very soon.
He's going to coach them marginal talents up.
Coming up on the other side, we've made some references to some of the other coaches that were connected to this. Some of them got big old extensions here in the recent days. I'm sure not connected at all to the Alabama coaching search. So what does this process tell us about where those coaches are, where those jobs rank, and Alabama and more? Next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back here on the Cover 3 podcast, sitting in producer Jordan's chair as well today. So you know I'm picking the Farmers Insurance Open. I'm just staring at a whole bunch of ads I can play right now. I was like, yeah, let's go with the golf tournament. I'm
watching the Sony Open right now.
Let's go. Okay, so Steve Sarkisian, new deal in recent days. Mike Norvell, new deal announced earlier on Friday. One that takes him, he already got a bump up to 8 before the 2023 season even happened. Now, on average, across a brand new 8-year deal, he'll be making about $10 million per year. Dan Lanning had his awesome, tightly edited video ready for social media.
Yeah, Oregon, Dan and Oregon are great with the videos. They've always got those things ready for everything.
The economic stimulus package is underway, but what does it tell us about the way that this search went? Like, if we're to go back and we're going to debrief on how Alabama went about things and what you think those conversations were like for some of those candidates before we got to Kalen DeBoer, which, by the way, I mean, Kalen DeBoer is a very good hire. If Kalen DeBoer had released a tightly edited social media video with UW forever, then all of a sudden this search was about to enter some crazy places. So we at least like finish with a sensible hire. So what is it? What are all the other coaches, their behavior in recent days? What does that tell us about Alabama?
Well, I think Alabama is still an elite job, unquestionably a top 5 job, but I don't think it's the clear cut number 1 job in the sport without Nick, right? Especially because you're immediately following Nick. The pressure and the expectations will be so out of whack with what reality is. Doesn't mean you could win a national title and have a couple 10-win seasons, they still be like, well, I don't know, man. Nick wasn't about these 10-win seasons. I don't read into it too much. I think people probably have some questions about the job. It's a major turnover situation. As we noted yesterday, how about these power players who want to kind of get back in power, who were largely shut out by Nick Saban? Do they exert more influence and control over the program? Does that become a distraction or a hindrance for you? We don't really know. Some things that I think it confirms. We had talked about how Lanning's buyout and other kind of dealings, and not like nefarious, but other contractual stuff, probably was the one candidate who was prohibitively expensive. You know, so I don't know that Alabama kicked the tires more there once they heard the number. Like, Oregon didn't announce a new deal for Lanning, correct? I believe there's
I did notice that there's no they already had the hay in the barn on that, I think.
Right. They're like, hey, you have a blank check in NIL and you have a ridiculous contract that you just signed. And your own NIL deals, I think, are really, really good. So, yeah. I think Texas right now is a better job than Alabama, given the situation. If you're Steve Sarkisian, you're very comfortable there. You like living there. You are clearly recruiting at an elite level. Why would you leave Texas to go be the guy who follows Nick Saban?
Which I also think would be abandoning the work that you've done.
Yeah.
You're
starting over in a worse position.
Think about your quarterback room right now. Mm-hmm. You have Quinn Ewers coming back and you have Arch Manning on your bench.
Yeah, I'm definitely in the position, if I'm Steve Sarkisian, where it's great that it's awesome that Alabama, a program that I respect, really wants me, but now is not the time for me to leave an equally elite job that I am 3 years ahead of, 3 years ahead of schedule or 4 years ahead of schedule, right?
Yeah.
Would we go 5-7, 8-5, and then this year was the, you win the Big 12, 12-2?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you would be going backwards in terms of the work that you have to do to get everything aligned. The machine is rolling. You're going to the SEC. I get it from that perspective.
I think if you're Mike Norvell, it says that you're very comfortable with the leadership and alignment in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
And probably also that you, and Norvell is not a lawyer, but he certainly is represented by, by a couple. Probably that you think that the chances of their lawsuit's pretty good. Because if you thought it was just a bunk kind of publicity stunt lawsuit, you would leave because you don't want to be stuck in the ACC forever. Also, the fact that they ponied up, as I said, I think they could go to 11 if they had to. In fact, they got him over 10 for an 8-year deal. It's $80 million guaranteed. there is something to be said for, hey, I can raise my daughter and have her go to the same school and have a normal group of friends and just have a life as opposed to constantly ping-ponging around all these jobs all the time. You know, I think increasingly because the money in the sport is so great, I think we're seeing coaches jump jobs less often because of that. In terms of choosing to jump. Now, a lot of them get fired anyway, but that's kind of one of the reasons why, you know, maybe they're starting to value some more security there. I also think that if I'm Norvell, I would ask for like more guarantees of NIL. Florida State has, I think, unquestionably one of the highest NIL budgets in the country right now. They kind of have to compete with the SEC and Big Ten. I think if you're Norvell, you want to have guarantees that that continues, right? Because there's no guarantee it does anywhere. You know, these collectives and just the donors can be fickle beasts. So, but I don't think it's necessarily a commentary on the Alabama job, except, you know, our friend Dan Volkan last night, I hadn't talked to him about this, but he tweeted something that was similar to what I had said. It was, hey, like, Bama's NIL operation is not what some of these other schools are. Like, it's not what Florida State and Oregon, Auburn and Texas have. Like, they have been largely reliant on Saban. And kids are not going to take a discount to come play for Kalen DeBoer. You're going to have to start ponying up.
Can I put on my tinfoil hat for a bit?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. So Greg Byrne's going to show up at the press conference here whenever it's held, probably Monday, I would guess. And he's going to say, somebody's going to ask him, like, you know, because with all the reports, Lanning, Sarkisian, all these guys, and his names came up, Norvell, was Kalen DeBoer your first choice? And he's going to say, of course, Kalen DeBoer was always a number one choice. And usually we would be like, okay, pal, sure thing. You know, it's always for blah, blah, blah. What I propose is, what if Kalen DeBoer was Alabama's first choice? Because, gentlemen, Jimmy Sexton is a very, very powerful agent. Jimmy Sexton is a very powerful agent because Jimmy Sexton is very, very smart. And he's very, very good at his job. All these coaches that were connected to the job, who's their agent?
Jimmy Sexton.
Okay. So maybe we've talked about Nick Saban tried to hire Ryan Grubb as his OC. Nick Saban clearly has been admiring of what's been going on in Washington these last few years. Nick Saban is involved in the coaching hire. Nick Saban is like, Kalen DeBoer would be a very good choice to replace me. And Jimmy Sexton's like, you're right, and I can help make that happen. But what I need from you, Greg and Nick, is to help me get my guys a little bit of a pay raise. So we are going to connect them to the job, get them pay raises, and then we'll drive Kalen home. Just saying. Wouldn't that be a crazy scenario?
I don't think it's crazy at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I will say Dellinger said that they pretty aggressively pursued Norvell.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't shock me if he's the one that they, after you kick the tires on Lanning and Sark, it wouldn't shock me if they went after Norvell pretty hard and then quickly pivoted to DeBoer.
Hey, because it was those four are all hires that make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you lay them out and you're like, okay, so did Lanning ever get offered the job, or was that just like a well-crafted social media campaign?
Wait, what's the buyout?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Like $1 billion.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you mentioned the Sark and the Norvell. I mean, who knows exactly how it is? No job is ever officially offered until it's accepted, as we all know. But Kalen DeBoer, absolutely, for reasons that we mentioned at the top of the show, was someone who Nick Saban probably approves of. And Nick Saban, if you're giving him a voice in this coaching hire, he is picking someone who is just an absolute winner at every level. Again, 104-12 as a head coach, 25-3 in 2 years with Washington, 12-6 in a year and a half with Fresno State, COVID year, as Bud mentioned, 67-3 at Sioux Falls with 3 NAIA national championships. And now he gets an opportunity to take over Alabama. So, coming up on the other side, what does that mean for Washington? The next dominoes in the coaching carousel as a Big Ten job is open. We'll get into that and more next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back here on the Cover 3 podcast. Got some questions in the Cover 3 tailgate. So, you know, as you see our headline here, Alabama in talks with Washington coach Kalen DeBoer. The indication that we have gotten from multiple reports, including our own Brandon Marcello and Matt Zenitz, is that this is finalizing a deal. Is it possible that this thing breaks down? Maybe.
Anything's possible until it's
but we felt confident enough hitting live so that we could go ahead and get us to the point where we are looking at this with an analytical eye, trying to figure out what it means. And that includes who is going to be next at Washington. You start by, I assume, trying to keep the mojo going with offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb, and your competition would be potentially an offer for Ryan Grubb to go be the Alabama offensive coordinator under Kalen DeBoer to keep that as a package deal. Mm-hmm. That's an obvious one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So who else, if not?
Well, first, I just want to, like, what a whiplash of a week for a Washington fan.
Oh, oh my God.
5 days ago, you're playing for a national title. Now, your coach has gone to Alabama. Penix, Adunze, McMillan, Polk, Fatanu, Dylan Johnson are all off to the NFL before the week even ends. So it's like it feels like that game was a year ago already if you're a Washington fan. You've just completely gone around. But I do think that this is still going to be a very attractive job because proof of concept, you can compete for a national title here like we literally just saw it. So you combine that. You combine it with now being a Big Ten school and the resources that will go into being a Big Ten school. I mean, they're going to have a pretty impressive candidate or pool of candidates to go from. Maybe not the same pool of candidates Alabama gets, but still a very impressive one. I think Grubb would be a likely target. I think Jet Fish will be a likely target. I think Pete Carroll, no. I think, you know,
Urban Meyer?
No.
Urban Meyer.
I think there's a lot of like good coaching possibilities. And I think you kind of have to look like outside the Big Ten and the SEC. So like I mentioned, Jed Fish, you go to the Big 12, you go to the ACC, you go to these other schools that maybe won't have the same kind of, you know, resources. So I would say Jed Fish is the favorite. I would also say just complete, no information here, just something to consider. Chris Peterson.
Come on home.
Maybe he's ready to get back in. I don't know.
I could see it. What does Jed Fish make at Arizona?
Probably 3, I would guess. I have no idea. That's just a
blank. 3.5. And okay. It was reported that Washington offered 8.4 to DeBoer. Didn't Arizona just lose their defensive coordinator to Texas?
You got it.
I mean, he's a guy who's won. They lost a lot of their best players last year to the portal, and he found some underrated guys in the portal and won again this year and had a really nice year. That would piss off a lot of Florida fans. I think that's who they have circled after they get rid of Napier.
No, you don't get to call dibs. No college football fan base gets to call dibs a year out. You want somebody, hey, you fire your coach and you go get him.
All right? I'm in this state. I'm in the group chats. They're like, hey, if we can get rid of Napier, do you think we can get Fish? I'm like, yeah, of course I do.
Rules of the coaching carousel say you cannot call dibs. Go hire his ass.
No, I think he would be a really, really good hire. Isn't Grubb going to get NFL interest as well?
Probably.
I thought I'd read that, like, that NFL teams have a lot of respect for what he does. So,
speaking, you just mentioned Florida. Anybody know of a coach who might be a good offensive in-game coach who's not the ultimate recruiter? Because that's the kind of coach Kalen DeBoer was, and he just had a lot of success at Washington. And there's a pretty big-name coach out there who hasn't had a job in a while who used to coach at Florida who kind of fits that profile.
So Kalen DeBoer coached in Michigan quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I know another guy that coached in a Great Lakes state who just has a reputation for winning everywhere he goes and just understands how to coach ball. And he's not in the Power 2 conference. His name's Lance Leipold.
Mm-hmm.
I know who hired DeBoer is not the same person who's making the hire now for Washington, but if you want to just go get somebody who just kind of understands the winning part, that would make a lot of sense.
So, and that also, I think, you know, Joel Klatt, Fox Sports, he's a big fan of the Cover 3 podcast. He pointed out on FS1 that whole AD thing at Washington had to play a role. Like, if you are DeBoer and the athletic director who is now in charge was not the one who hired you, the one who hired you is now at USC, I'm sure the relationship was professional. I assume so. DeBoer is a great manager of people, as a good people building type personality. But he had to look at that and say, all right, well, maybe one day if things start, you know, if we hit the ground in the Big Ten, things get a little rocky, get dicey for me. So not as strong a ties potentially as you would have had otherwise.
Dennis Rodman in the chat saying a name Thamel dropped was Matt Campbell. So we're back on that.
Oh, Matt Campbell's back.
Yeah. Congrats, Matt.
Is SEO back too?
SEO.
How about this one? The Blue Chicken, is Oregon the biggest winner?
I think Oregon's a very big winner. Yes.
Washington loses four, and you hold on to Dan Lanning.
Yes.
You got Evan Stewart. You got a guy who's an absolute pain in the ass to coach against in DeBoer, out the paint, and you keep your coach. Yeah,
all right, so the job. Washington job is open. Is Washington a better job than Michigan State?
No, it's on the same par.
I think it's slightly better, actually.
But I think Tom's right that they are occupying the same tier.
Mm-hmm. Both have been to the playoff.
We're probably nitpicking it. Yeah. they're similar jobs. I would say
Jonathan Smith is not just going to bounce Michigan State after a brief tenure and go take the Washington job.
Not unless he really just loves the West Coast.
Yeah, that would be hilarious, though.
Florida State's a big winner out of this whole scenario.
Yeah,
right.
I would agree with that.
Would you be happy with Matt Campbell, bud?
If I'm Washington.
Hmm.
I think Matt Campbell does a hell of a job, man. You know, probably. I've been playing with this, by the way. After coaching his first 10 games at a school, DeBoer is 80-3. How sick. I was like this.
I was wondering what the butt bot was doing over there. That's
yeah, great. Sorry.
No, that's a great note. Okay. So after the first 10 games at all three of his stops, which would be Sioux Falls, Fresno State, and Washington. So you're saying after the first 10 games, he is 80-3 the rest of the way.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty nuts, man.
That's crazy. The guy can coach ball. He's really, really good at it. Any other lingering thoughts before we get out of here?
Is there somebody we're missing that is going to just be really obvious for this job? Run through the Big 12.
Deion.
Washington team meeting called for an hour from now. Pete Thamel, sources, Kalen DeBoer has informed Washington officials he's taking the job at Alabama.
Yep. Whew. What about climbing?
Thanks. Sorry, excuse me. Can we celebrate that this one actually is official? We don't have to sweat this falling apart right now.
It would be hilarious. It'd be hilarious.
Frank Beamer was once committed to be a head coach at University of North Carolina, but you know, they didn't dot all the I's and cross all those T's. So it sounds like we've at least gotten it home here.
I think climbing would make sense. I think
Kansas State, yep.
I mean, pretty much, yeah. Like any Big 12 or ACC coach who's good, I think is somebody that would make sense. Because if you're looking to get out and get into one of those jobs, this is one of those jobs.
Is there anybody G5 who has like West Coast connections? I'm trying to think.
I mean, right now your coaches at the Mountain West powers are Jeff Tedford, Spencer Danielson, who just got the job.
Yep.
Hey, last time Washington hired a former state coach, they got to the college football playoffs. So maybe they go the Brian Harsin route.
Jamie Chadwell?
Almost all of his experience is in the Southeast.
Southeast.
Like entirely, actually.
That'd be a weird cultural fit, I think.
Agree. Yeah.
You called it Moore?
What?
No, sorry. Go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say Sherrone Moore. If Jim comes
Sherrone back. Moore is probably also a winner in this, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, DeBoer was the one candidate who I think we thought if you were going to go with a non-Moore guy, it would be him. And now he's off the board.
Yep.
Well, no, I love Dave Doran. I think Dave Doran would be a really good hire for Washington.
Chat says Winningham. I don't think he would. I don't think he's leaving Utah.
I don't think he'll either.
I agree. All right, well, we will continue to provide coverage of this here on the Cover 3 podcast. Again, Kalen DeBoer will be the next head coach at Alabama. He is the successor to Nick Saban. Washington's got an open coaching job. Steve Sarkisian, Mike Norvell, you got a payday. It's a landscape-shifting week here in college football. We appreciate everybody who's rocked us with us the entire way. Any final words? I know.
Get on that transfer portal. It's like if you're Isaiah Bond and you jumped in the portal today. I know he's interested in Texas. Bama 247 reported. Do you take another look at the school you're currently at? Because DeBoer's had some success with receivers. If recent history is any indication.
That's a really good idea. We'll keep our eyes on the portal for sure. And you can follow him on Twitter at Tom Fidel. You can follow him at BudElliott3. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Roll Tide.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.